Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 24, 2019. We'll begin today's reading, as usual, on the front page. The top story today is healthcare, DMH joining Springfield System. Decatur Hospital joins wide-reaching regional health network, Decatur. Leaders of Decatur Memorial Hospital predict only positive changes for patients and the community when it becomes an affiliate of Springfield-based Memorial Health System later this year. Officials from both organizations say no money will change hands. They did not disclose terms of the deal in a joint statement and phone interview Thursday, but referred to Memorial Health System as the new parent company of DMH. The move would make DMH the second largest hospital in the system on October 1st, pending approval from regulatory bodies. DMH President and CEO Timothy Stone Jr. and Memorial Health System President and CEO Ed Curtis both stressed their focus on prioritizing quality local health care. "If there is any change whatsoever, it will be for the good," said Stone, who plans to step down September 30th. He has worked for the hospital since 1995 and was named CEO in 2015. A joint statement from both parties said the DMH executive team will continue day-to-day operations and have a local community board. The Decatur Hospital will not change its name, and Curtis said wages would remain the same for employees. "No layoffs are anticipated," he said. Memorial Health System includes Memorial Medical Center in Springfield, Passavant Area Hospital in Jacksonville, Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital in Lincoln and Taylorville Memorial Hospital in Taylorville, as well as Memorial Physician Services, Memorial Behavioral Health, and Memorial Home Services. Both parties said the affiliation will help increase access to care in the region. Memorial Health System has nearly 7,100 staff members and 900 partnering physicians. This affiliation with Decatur Memorial Hospital and the physicians who serve those communities is a significant milestone in our efforts to increase access to health care across central Illinois, Curtis said in the statement. "With the addition of Decatur Memorial Hospital, we are able to do more for our region." The leader of Decatur's other hospital, HSHS St. Mary's, reacted positively to the news. "At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, we look forward to working with Memorial Health System on initiatives that will be positive for our community," President and CEO Mike Hicks said in a statement. "With this news, we foresee great opportunities to increase the health and wellness of Decatur and the surrounding areas as we continue to focus on our patients and the families we serve." Economic impact. DMH has 300 beds, more than 2,300 employees, and 300 medical staff. It is the third largest employer in Decatur and Macon County and has a long history in the community, first opening on January 1, 1916. If the new affiliation has any effect on the Decatur economy, Stone said, it will be positive. He said significant growth would be the result from the move. Ryan McCrady, president of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, also said DMH's affiliation with Memorial is a plus for the community. "Not only does it support the medical services that the hospital already offers," he said, "but it could also lead to an expansion of the services." It's fair to say that both organizations have things that they are really good at doing, McCrady said. "By combining these two organizations, the community gets access to both of these organizations going forward." McCrady said DMH has typically been in the top four employers within the area for years. It had been the second largest employer until Caterpillar, which has 3,100 Decatur employees, expanded its presence in the city. "I think this is a positive announcement for the community," McCrady said. "Healthcare is a huge quality of life component, and quality of life is really important in helping employers here and attracting employers in the future." Growing trend. Hospital leaders said their boards reached an agreement in late April Stone said the whole process took about 2 years, and Memorial Health System had been the only prospective affiliate partner that stood out to DMH. Remaining on the leading edge of health and patient care is critical to delivering our mission, Stone said. Joining a neighboring, like-minded, leading healthcare organization will help us provide lower-cost, higher-quality healthcare using innovative practices and technology. There had been speculation about a possible merger earlier in the spring. The Herald and Review in early May was told by hospital spokeswoman those rumors were not true. As you know, in any large organization, there are always rumors about the future of the organization. However, Memorial Medical Center is not purchasing DMH. Should there ever be something to announce, I will be sure to let you know, DMH spokeswoman Ann Davis said in a May 3rd email to the Herald and Review. Officials reiterated on Thursday that the hospital is not being purchased, repeatedly describing the measure as an affiliation, not an acquisition. Affiliations, acquisitions, and mergers have become more common in the past decade as hospitals increasingly seek to consolidate or form partnerships, experts say. Kaufman Hall, a healthcare management consulting company, first began tracking hospital mergers and acquisitions in 2008. In its 2018 annual report, the firm predicted that regional healthcare systems would continue to grow as hospitals look outside of their original markets for partners. The report cited several factors, including new competition, political and regulatory pressure, maturing markets, and a desire to improve their capabilities. In 2014, trade magazine Becker's Hospital Review interviewed several hospital CEOs about the growing popularity of affiliations. They cited several driving factors, including a lack of resources for some rural hospitals and industry changes that force hospitals to look for partnerships to help them adapt. There are many reasons people seek an affiliation, but a large part is the transformation going on in healthcare in terms of payment models, Michelle Conger, Chief Strategy Officer of OSF Healthcare System in Peoria, told the magazine. It's really difficult to find all of the things necessary to support pay for value independently. I think hospitals are looking for partners to really be able to share in those types of capabilities. And tracking the news, what happened? Decatur Memorial Hospital and Memorial Healthcare System on Thursday announced DMH would become an affiliate of the Springfield-based hospital network. And the impact? DMH has about 2,600 employees and is the third largest employer in Macon County. What's next? The merger requires regulatory approval. The change is expected to happen October 1st. Feed the Hungry, ADM Feed My Starving Children effort will feed 55,000. Decatur. The cheering from inside the large factory-like room at St. Paul's Lutheran Church was reminiscent of a college football crowd, though these volunteers had a more serious purpose on this day. Inside the room at the church on the city's north side, 180 enthusiastic college-age Archer Daniels Midland Company interns on Thursday were helping pack 55,000 meals for families in need as part of Feed My Starving Children. As they look ahead to a summer of hands-on learning with ADM, they begin with service. Who else can say they got to be part of putting together meals for families during their internship orientation, said Claire Marquardt, a Michigan State University student. Feed My Starving Children, a Christian nonprofit organization based in Minnesota, is dedicated to providing nutritious meals to children worldwide. The nonprofit hosts mobile packing events worldwide, like the one of St. Paul's, and last year more than 1.3 million volunteers packed about 365 million meals. This is the second year ADM and Feed My Starving Children hosted the mobile packing event as the exit celebration after an orientation week for ADM interns. ADM and Feed My Starving Children have partnered on several packing events over the years. Joel Howells, Feed My Starving Children Supply Chain Director, said about 300 mobile packing events happen across the country every year. And this particular event with ABM is unique because the company is a key supplier for the nonprofit. ADM has continued to support us over the last 7 years, Howells said. As a corporation, supporting with their resources, time, and money is such a huge help for FMSC. The nonprofit first hosted the volunteer opportunity with ADM in 2013. Britt Walker, business manager of ADM's soy protein division, said the packing event is special because the company supplies one of the main ingredients in the meal that will help that will be distributed to children in 70 countries worldwide. The interns assemble what are called mana packs, which contain flour ingredients, textured vegetable protein, dehydrated vegetables, rice, and vitamin mineral mix. Walker said each pack feeds 5 people. Some of the soybeans grown in Illinois come into the ADM facilities at 4666 East Ferries Parkway in Decatur. The product is then turned into soy flour, Walker said, and shipped to ADM's Bushnell, Illinois branch, where it is turned into textured vegetable protein. It is really cool that we get to be part of the process of packing the meals, but also to provide an ingredient that is really special, Walker said. The students are separated into groups with designated tables where they put together the meals in an assembly line. Each student has a role to fill, whether scooping and measuring ingredients or sealing the bag when it is ready. In national news on the front page, trade war, farm payments coming. Trump pledges $16 billion to farmers to offset impact of tariffs. Washington. President Donald Trump rolled out another $16 billion in aid for farmers hurt by his trade policies, and financial markets shook Thursday on the growing realization that the U.S. and China are far from settling a bitter year-long trade dispute. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said the first of 3 payments to farmers is likely to be made in July or August, and suggested that the U.S. and China were unlikely to have settled their differences by then. The package we're announcing today ensures that farmers do not bear the brunt of unfair retaliatory tariffs imposed by China and other trading partners, Perdue said. The latest bailout comes atop $11 billion in aid Trump provided for farmers last year. We will ensure our farmers get the relief they need and very, very quickly, Trump said. Seeking to reduce America's trade deficit with the rest of the world and China in particular, Trump has imposed import taxes on foreign steel, aluminum, solar panels, and dishwashers, and on thousands of Chinese products. U.S. trading partners have lashed back with retaliatory tariffs of their own, focusing on U.S. agriculture products in a direct shot at the American heartland, where support for Trump runs high. William Reinsch, a trade analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and a former U.S. trade official, called the administration's aid package for farmers a fairly overt political ploy. It's not economics, Reinsch said. Trump wants to win the farm states again in the 2020 election, and he's got members of Congress beating up on him to resolve the trade conflicts. Financial markets slumped Thursday in response to the heightened tensions between the U.S. and China. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 286 points, or 1%, to 25,490. It had been down 448 points earlier in the day. The U.S. crude plunged 6% on fears that the trade standoff would knock the global economy out of kilter and kill demand for energy. Talks between the world's 2 largest economies broke off earlier this month with no resolution to a dispute over Beijing's aggressive efforts to challenge American technological dominance. The U.S. charges that China is stealing technology, unfairly subsidizing its own companies, and forcing U.S. companies to hand over trade secrets if they want access to the Chinese market. Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are expected to discuss the standoff at a meeting of the Group of 20 major economies in Osaka, Japan, next month. There are no current plans for talks to occur before then. Speaking to reporters Thursday, Trump suggested he might be willing to make the embattled Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei part of the trade talks with China. His administration last week put Huawei, which it has called a threat to national security, on a blacklist that effectively barred U.S. firms from selling the Chinese company's computer chips and other components without government approval. The move could cripple Huawei, the world's largest manufacturer of networking gear and second biggest smartphone maker. Briefing reporters on the farm aid package, Purdue said the second payment will be made around November and the third likely in early 2020. USDA officials said unless a trade deal has that those payments will be made unless a trade deal has been reached by then. And on the front page in sports, Illini sports rally round Roundtree after tragedy. When Lovie Smith arrived in March of 2016 and started rebuilding a broken-down Illini football roster, it was as though a yellow school bus pulled up in front of Memorial Stadium and unloaded a mismatched collection of kids who were too small, too weak, and too overmatched for the rigors of Big Ten football. This was the future of Illini football? That's a question. Be patient, Lovie said. Watch and see. Bobby Roundtree was one of the kids who stepped wide-eyed from that bus like a kindergartner, a bit daunted by the first day of his new football school. But as Lovie promised, these boys would grow into men. Roundtree was one of the prospects the Illini coach was most counting on. 3 years later, and as recently as a week and a half ago when Lovie was in Decatur for the Illini Club pep rally, he could point proudly at Bobby Roundtree as an example of how his plan can work exquisitely when the right player is groomed the right way and grows into the man-sized role. Roundtree, Lovie said, was the poster child of a student athlete who embraces the challenge and becomes the kind of talent and team leader that NFL teams were asking about before his junior year. His blossoming greatness was now. His professional future was undeniable and coming soon. Now, however, that glee has turned into the kind of cruel gut punch that has temporarily brought the Illini football program to its knees. Roundtree's injury this past weekend, a swimming mishap, ominously described in the university's own press release as severe spinal injury, knocked the wind out of a whole community of players, coaches, administrators, friends, and fans. I'll be honest, when I first read the story, I nearly became physically ill. I got to know Roundtree during his first 2 years on the job. You might recall his collegiate debut on September 2, 2017, when he became the school's first true freshman defensive end in 37 years to start the season opener. He had a sack in that victory over Ball State, and it looked like Lovie had discovered a diamond in the rough when he lured Roundtree to Champaign from Largo, Florida. It has proven to be true. If you line up every scholarship football player projected to be on the 2019 Illini roster and rank them top to bottom, Roundtree would stand number one on my list. He's already one of the best pass rushers in the Big Ten, and his pro potential conjures look-alike comparisons to former Illini All-American and longtime pro Simeon Rice. Plus, he's a big, sweet, likable kid. When the bad news arrived this past weekend, Lovie jumped on a plane and jetted to Florida. Defensive line coach Austin Clark was already down there recruiting and was one of the first to show up at the hospital. Lovie arrived urgently to comfort Roundtree and wrap his arms around his family. When he was in Decatur recently, Lovie talked about how Roundtree worked extra jobs in high school not to rake in money to buy himself the next video game, but to help his mom, who lived in a one-room apartment and faced a tight financial situation. Lovie at the hospital this week is Lovey at his best. He may never be entirely comfortable cracking wise in front of a big group or swapping stories with the media, but one-on-one with a player or up close with a player's family, he's a genuine father figure whose NFL pedigree makes him a man people look up to. In the moment of greatest need for a devastated player and his family, Lovey was there and was still there as of late this week. More members of the Illini family will need to be there too. I don't know how this will work, but this impossible to describe group we refer to as Illini Nation will need to rally on Roundtree's behalf. I have no doubt they will. Fans find time and enthusiasm to closely monitor every recruiting scenario, jumping on social media to message potential players and sing the praises of the Illini. Those fans speak to those players as though they know them. By the time they're an ascending junior like Roundtree, it's possible those fans actually do know them, or feel as though they do. Together, and the population of Illini Nation is impossible to quantify, they have an opportunity to help this young man and his family through a brutally challenging stretch. The university has said it will soon reveal the specifics, but there's a plan being finalized to make donations a simple procedure. He faces daunting medical costs. When the injury happened, it didn't take long for Lovey to issue a plea for prayers. Truthfully, I don't know what to realistically pray for. Still don't. But I hope no matter how serious his injury and how his rehabilitation plays out, Bobby Roundtree will one day return to campus where the entire Illini football program is aching for him now. I hope he'll have a chance to be saluted at Memorial Stadium, where fans are heartbroken that an athlete who took a chance on the Illini 3 years ago has suffered an unspeakable blow. Lovey will rally his kids. Someone else will step up on the defensive line. Football will go on. But when those kids step off the yellow bus on the first day of school, no parent imagines such a punch in the gut is waiting in the not-too-distant future. That's what has buckled the knees of the entire Illini football program. And that's a column from Jim Tupper. Mark Tupper, excuse me. In more local and state news, H&R names Gould general manager. New VP of sales worked in Texas, Mississippi, Pennsylvania. Decatur, a newspaper publisher who has held positions in Texas and Mississippi, will join the Herald and Review as vice president of sales. Alexander Gould, a publisher of the Meridian Star in eastern Mississippi, is starting in Decatur in June. Alexander is the best choice from a deep pool of high-caliber candidates, said Michelle Pizarre, president and publisher of Lee Enterprises' Central Illinois Group, which includes the Herald and Review. He's been a successful executive, and even more important, he's a great fit with our market and our Herald and Review team. He's a graduate of Waynesburg University in western Pennsylvania and has also worked in media-related positions in Pennsylvania and Kentucky. He was publisher of the Meridian newspaper since 2016. Before that, he worked for 3 years at Advocate Digital Media in Longview, Texas. Gould held several positions there, most recently integrated sales director. "We are excited to be coming to Decatur," Gould said. He and his wife Jennifer have twin 9-year-old daughters, Phoebe and Dakota, and they look forward to getting engaged with the area. "We're looking forward to the opportunity to learn about the area and its people as quickly as possible and become active members within the community," he said. In Decatur, he will oversee the advertising operations for the Herald and Review. He replaces Joel Fletcher, who left the position to become a philanthropy specialist for the HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Foundation, said Pizarre. "I'm excited about what Alexander's unique experience can do for us. He brings a mix of leadership, passion, and breadth of publishing/digital knowledge to the table. There is enormous potential in the Central Illinois market, and Alexander can help our customers achieve continued success." Decatur trailing last year. Job increase in area, but unemployment rises to 5.5%. The Decatur excuse me, area added 200 non-farm jobs in April while unemployment rose compared to a year ago. In a news release Thursday, the Illinois Department of Employment Security said the Decatur metro area saw its unemployment rate rise to 5.5% in April compared to 4.9% in April 2018. Across the state, the number of non-farm jobs increased, the IDES said, with 80,600 jobs added year over year in April. Not seasonally adjusted, the state's unemployment rate was 4% compared to 3.3% for the nation. Job growth remains strong in most areas of the state, which is encouraging more Illinoisans to enter the labor force, Deputy Governor Dan Hines said in a news release. In the Decatur area, the IDES said non-farm job increases included 600 more positions in manufacturing, 200 in construction, 200 in leisure and hospitality, and 100 in other services. Those gains were somewhat offset by a loss of 400 jobs in professional and business services, 200 in retail trade, and 100 in each of transportation, warehousing, and utilities, wholesale trade, and government. Jobs were added in 10 of the state's 14 metropolitan statistical area, the IDES said. The Carbondale-Marion area led the way with a 2.6% increase while adding 1,500 jobs. The industry sectors showing the most growth across Illinois were manufacturing and leisure and hospitality, adding new jobs in 11 of the 14 metro areas. Infrastructure. Culvert replacement to begin. No plans for repaving pothole-ridden U.S. 36 near Harristown. Harristown. The Illinois Department of Transportation said it will begin a $509,000 culvert replacement project for Harristown Boulevard on June 3rd, but officials say there are currently no plans to repave the pothole-filled roadway. Greg Jamerson, Program Development Engineer for IDOT's District 7, which includes Macon County, said no funding is in place for a repaving project. He said it was too early to tell how much repaving the stretch of old U.S. 36 would cost, but estimated it could be in the range of $6 million for the four-lane roadway. Crews are trying to keep the potholes filled up as best they can, Jamerson said, and it's getting to the point where we're going to have to get in there and get it resurfaced as soon as we can. Jamerson said IDOT will eventually add the roadway to its multi-year plans when funding is available and depending on other priorities. Harristown Mayor Evelyn Deverell said several residents have complained to her of the state of Harristown Boulevard, which is the primary entryway into the Macon County village of little over 1,300 people. She said it's crumbling in places and only gets worse the farther people drive toward the west. It is extremely bad, Deverell said. Residents who have called IDOT and complained about the particular pothole that's bad, and they have been repaired. Okay. As for the culvert replacement, Deverell said the project will likely be on a short-term inconvenience for many Harristown residents. When crews begin their work in June, Harristown Boulevard will be closed through traffic for about 2 months, weather permitting. However, a lane will be left open for emergency personnel to enter and exit the village. Jamerson said IDOT won't be marking detours for this project because there are local routes in the area motorists can use to make their way to Decatur and other surrounding places. He also said the department didn't believe a marked detour was required because of the short duration of the project. It's going to add some time to the commutes, but not an exorbitant amount of time. It depends on which route they take. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 24th, 2019. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.